Well, we're going to begin a new series today. I don't know how long it'll run. You know how series go here, but I guarantee it'll be over by Easter, but probably hopefully sooner than that. But we're going to begin the journey today, and we're going to be positioning ourselves both individually and corporately for where we feel the Holy Spirit is leading us this year. Last year, if you remember, we focused our hearts and prayers on a year of change and transition. And as we look back through the rearview mirror, that's exactly what we got, isn't it? And so we, both individually and families and homes and of course corporately, we saw that experience as well. But this year, we sense the Holy Spirit preparing us for a season of radical fruitfulness. Radical fruitfulness. Remember, the word radical comes from the Latin word radicalis, where we get our word root, to be near the root, or from the root, originating from the root. In fact, this Christmas season, if you were with us, we considered how to experience a radical, deep-rooted Advent season. And I hope you did, because I sure did. I don't know about you, but I just enjoyed the month of December. It was a great time to be part of the body of Christ and get to experience all that together. But we're going to now spend the next couple of months positioning ourselves for a radical fruitfulness. This will be a year, are you ready, for spiritual increase. Who needs increase in your life? This increase is going to be in your personal life and in your personal ministries that God has given you. And I have found that whatever happens to you individually automatically overflows into this congregation. So what happens to each of us affects all of us. And so we're excited about what's coming. This is going to be a year for your roots to go deeper. We're not just talking about the Advent season. We're talking about the entire year. Anybody interested in that? And what will be the result of deeper roots? Can't help it. It's going to be fruitfulness. The deeper the roots, the greater the fruit. Mike Breen, if you've ever read any of his books, he wrote the book Leading Missional Communities. And he made this statement. In fact, I'm going to put it on a card and put it in my office. He said this: the root fruit of our lives will reveal, it will reveal the root of our lives. Do you get that? The root fruit of our lives will reveal the root of our lives. As we consider these scriptures that are posted on the screen, now you can write those down in your insert if you'd like. But we want to consider three filters that we're going to pass those scriptures through this morning. We're going to be looking for the plan, we're going to be looking for the process, and we're going to be looking for the purpose of fruitfulness. And you're going to see that as we walk through these scriptures together. How many believe God has a plan? He's always had a plan. He's never been caught off guard by anything. We often read the account of the garden and the fall of man thinking, well, God had to come up with a plan B. God's never had a plan B. He's always had a plan A. And he knew what was going to happen. And he knew there was a plan. And he knew there'd be a problem, but he already had the provision for us. And I believe that's true for your life as well. And when we think about fruitfulness, I think of Genesis 1, verse 28. The very first words that God spoke to humanity. What were they? Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful. Be fruitful. And multiply. Of all the things God could have said first, he said, be fruitful. It reveals his heart, doesn't it? Last week, we looked at the God of the New, right? How many remember the four paths for the God of the New? First, we saw that God is working all the time in everything, right? When you can see him, when you can't see him, he's working. Whether it's in the past, the present, or the future, God is at work. You got to confess that. Secondly, because of that, then we make ourselves available, release all our expectations to God, and to allow him to work new things in our life. And thirdly, we position ourselves for action, for motion. That God has built roads in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. That says to us that we're not going to pull over and park. But God's got things for us to do. And fourthly, all new things, all kingdom new things, always bring honor and glory to God. So in that same spirit, we find this DNA of fruitfulness. It comes out of the newness nature of God. God loves fruitfulness. It was first on his mind when he talked to Adam and Eve. And he wants us, as his creation, to also be fruitful. In John 15:16, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. It's the upper room discourse. He's just hours away. He calls his disciples together and he wants to give them some instructions, some pointers about how life's going to be. The change is coming. They don't know it totally. They kind of had little glimpses of it, but didn't really understand it. And so Jesus pulled them together and he looked at them and he spoke these words to them. He said, "Gentlemen, you did not choose me. I chose you." I'm going to get a little encouragement from that today. God was the initiator of your relationship with him. He started it. And you know the initiator bears most of the responsibility? Did your parents ever say to you, "You started it, you got to finish it"? Guess what? God started it and he's going to finish it. He's the initiator. He said, "You did not choose me. I chose you." Now the disciples are probably thinking, "Wait a minute. I answered the call. I remember when you called me and I was fishing, mending my nets, and you said, 'Follow me,' and I followed you. I made that choice." But God is saying, "Yes, that is true. You did that. But before you ever did that, I did this. Because I had a plan. I had a plan. Listen to his plan. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you. I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." How many of you know you've been appointed for a purpose? You've been appointed. There's a plan. There's a process. There's a purpose. All right? God has appointed all of you. Don't look at the person next to you. He's appointed you. He chose you. You didn't choose. He chose you first, and he appointed you for this purpose, that you would bear fruit. Last Sunday, if you were here for the prayer gathering, you know that we presented the emphasis for January. What is it? It's actually in your messenger. You'll see it towards the back. We're praying for fruitfulness. We're praying for a year of fruitfulness. But we're also praying during the month of January over Matthew 13. And you know what's in Matthew 13, right? The parable of the sower. Great parable. Jesus tells this story and he describes the different soils that the seed falls in. And we're all excited when he gets to that fourth soil there, where it yields a great increase, 160, 30-fold. How many of you would like to get to that part of the parable? Well, we're doing a little something different as we pray through that this month. Because a lot of times we read that scripture and we go, "Yep, that's those other three kind of soils, you know. That hard place where people don't understand the word, and that shallow place where the roots don't go down deep because of all the boulders and rocks, and the sun comes out and fries them, you know, and that third soil with the thorny bushes and it chokes out the seed. But there's the good soil." Well, we're praying this month that we can go and redeem those other three soils. We're praying that we can redeem them, that we can go to the hard place and we can till it up so people will understand. That we can go to the stony place and remove the stones. Anybody here need that in your life? We're praying that we can go to the thorny places and cut them right down to the root. And the seed won't be. And then the good soil. Because that good soil didn't become good by itself. Somebody worked that ground. And so that's what we're praying. We're praying that over our families. We're praying that over our church. We're praying that over our community. And it fits right in with what we're going to be talking about. Now, I want to start with this scripture in Luke 6. Now, I want you to know, and if you're new here or not, whenever I put a scripture on the screen, it's always going to be the New King James Version unless we indicate otherwise, all right? So we don't have to remember to put what, if it doesn't say anything, it's New King James, so if it looks a little different from your translation. But here are these words about fruitfulness. Jesus says, "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit." That's pretty logical, isn't it? "For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, out of the good treasures of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." That's a great teaching, isn't it? He's using something very familiar to us to teach a spiritual truth. I got to experience that this morning, actually. I got up this I usually get up before my wife and I go in and make my coffee. And I don't know how many of you do this, but I use the MCT oil. Have you ever heard of that? And I put it in my coffee, right? Anybody here use that besides me? Oh, a lot of you. Okay. And so I put it in my coffee, and I have a technique I use. You know, I shake the bottle real good, so I make sure, and then I measure it out. Well, I had a new bottle this morning. And so I realized it was new, so I unscrewed the lid, and there was a seal on it. So I peeled the seal off, and then I went to get something to go with my coffee, and I came back. It was kind of halfway dark in the kitchen, and I did what I always did. I shook the bottle. Oil went everywhere, on the counter, on the floor, on the refrigerator, on me. It was everywhere. And I thought, I'm in big trouble. But I'm here to tell you this morning, my wife came into the room and I was ready to receive my due reward. She put her hand on my shoulder and she said, don't you worry about it, honey. You just focus on this morning. I'll take care of this.
She'll get you later.
Don't you be confessing that. Don't you be confessing that. As I was driving to church, and she was down in what? I mean, oil. Have you ever tried to clean up oil? And I thought about those words that the author said, the root fruit of our lives will reveal the root of our lives. And I thought to myself, wow, the fruit that my wife showed me this morning was a fruit of mercy and grace and patience. When I deserve something totally different, I receive that today. And so she modeled the message for me. What fruit that I saw in her life as she ministered to me. Here's another verse. Paul's talking in Titus 3:14, encouraging the church. He says, and let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs. Why? That they may not be unfruitful. God's heart is that we be fruitful. So this morning, we're going to, in John 15, if you can turn there, I'll put it up on the screen for a little bit, but you'll want to have it to refer to. We're going to look at three friends of fruitfulness. In your insert, you can fill these in if you'd like. They will filter through the filter of the plan, the process, the purpose. You'll see it in John 15. Remember, Jesus is on his way to the cross, and he's describing to the disciples what their new relationship is going to be like with him. It's great news, although I'm not sure they totally understood it, but Jesus takes time to declare this reality to us. Let's read it together. I am the true vine, Jesus. Now, we don't know if there was some vines around, a vineyard, but they understood in that country there were a lot of vineyards, and so they understood the principle. And it could be there was one close by. Jesus might have pointed at it. He might have said, you see that vine? Well, I'm the true vine. In the original text, it says, I'm the vine, the true. It was also an emblem for the Roman government, the vine. Could be they were looking at that. Hey, but I'm the true vine. And then he describes this. And my Father, he's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. It shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. So let's look at the three friends that we see here in this scripture to becoming fruitful. The first is the plan, which is abiding. We're being called to abide In fact, over 10 times in this chapter that word is used. Abiding, 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 abiding. It must be important. It's the last words Jesus will speak to his disciples. And so he's stressing it over and over again. And he repeats it over and over again. To abide means to stay, to remain close, to dwell, to endure. It is a place of total dependency, this abiding. In verse 4, as we read, Jesus said this, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." And as we read earlier, verse 16, right? "You did not choose me. I chose you. I appointed you." For what reason? To go and bear fruit. And not just any fruit, but this fruit will remain. This is a fruit that's going to last. It's not inconsistent. It's not up one day, down. No, it is a consistent fruit-bearing reality in your life. You have been appointed for this purpose. And the only way it happens, Jesus says, is if you will abide in Him. If you abide in Him, if you stay in Him, if you stay close to Him, if you stay connected to Him, if you dwell and endure in Him, then you will. Not, well, I hope to bear fruit. No, you will bear fruit. Here's number two. This, we're going to spend a little time here. It's the pruning process. We know the plan from the beginning. So we bear fruit, but the process is significant and sometimes confusing to us. And so Jesus wants to set the record straight. You'll notice in this scripture, or at least maybe you will see it, actually the Trinity is at work. Because he identifies first the vine dresser. He's the one who takes care of the vineyard. Who is that? The Father, right? Jesus says the Father is the vine dresser. God's the vine dresser. I am the vine. And you are the branches, and then there's fruit. And who brings the fruit? It's the Holy Spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit we talk about all the time. They're all in play here. And here is this great vineyard, and he's identifying the Father as the vine dresser, which is a great statement to us because it means that God is involved in our lives. If you leave a vineyard to itself, what will happen to it? It'll become overgrown, won't it? Just like your yard or your garden. It needs attention. When Adam and Eve were put in the garden, even before the fall, God said, "You're here to do what? To tend to the garden." The garden needs attention. You need attention. You are God's vineyard. You're God's garden. And the Father is saying to you, "I love you, and I'm here, and I'm going to take care of the vineyard, and I'm going to do a good job of it too. And I'm going to do what's best for the vineyard." In Wilkerson's book, Secrets of the Vine, if you don't have it, try to get a copy of it. He gives us great insight on this scripture. First thing we see is there are four levels of fruit bearing. If you look in there, first in verse 2, it says, "And every branch in me." Now notice, all these branches are in Him. They're in Him, in Christ. And He says, "There is a branch in me that does not bear fruit." So the first level is no fruit. Then He says, "He takes it away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes." So there is now somebody who bears fruit, and after it's prune, then it bears what? More fruit. Okay, so we have no fruit, fruit, more fruit. And then over in verse 5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." So you see the progression that's going on. God's intending for you to bear more and more and more fruit. You're not just going to stay stuck where you are. You'll start with no fruit. And there's probably people here in this service this morning, you have no fruit in your life. And there's a reason for that. Some of you have fruit. But God's going to prune you, and you're going to bear more fruit. And then you're going to abide in Him in greater measure, and you're going to bear much fruit. I don't know where you are in that, but I want to first look at the first level, no fruit. And that's in verse 2. He says, "This branch that does not bear fruit in Him, He takes away." Now, if you go and look at that Greek word, and some of you have a Greek concordance, you'll see every time that word is used in the Bible, it can be take away. But I know Wilkerson feels this way. It might be an improper interpretation because a lot of times, half the time in Scripture, it means to pick up. It means to lift up or to take up, which becomes very significant to this context because this branch is in Christ, but it's not bearing any fruit. And what the vine dresser should do, if he's taking care of the vineyard, he's going to go, because that branch is probably in the dirt. It's down too low. And so, and it fits, because what he's going to do is go down, he's going to pick it up. He's going to lift it up. He's done that to you, he's done that to me. Have you ever been there? Anybody here in the dirt today? You're in the dirt, and there's no fruit in your life. Zip, zero. Well, God's going to lift you up. And he's going to put you in a better place for fruitfulness. And this is your year. I want you to know that. Well, then we have the second level of fruit bearing. Here's a branch that bears fruit. And this branch, he's going to prune. How many of you get a little nervous when you hear that word prune? Because it involves a knife, doesn't it? The pruning knife is what they call it. If you're like my wife is deathly afraid of knives, even butter knives. You know, you can, she'll do anything you want. Just grab a butter knife and say, do this, she'll do it. Some of you are like that with the pruning knife. When God says, I'm going to take out the pruning knife, why does he do that? Why? Okay, we're already bearing fruit. Why prune me? I'm not like the no-fruit guy. God says, I know. I'm not going to prune the no-fruit guy. I'm going to lift him up. But you, I'm going to prune. Why would you do that? In the natural, it's pretty simple. The first thing the pruner does, and he does it twice a year. There's one part of the year where he just kind of tweaks it, and one part of the year where it's very massive pruning. But the purpose of it is to remove dead wood. You got any dead wood in your life that's not doing anything for you? God wants to cut that away. There's a thing that the vine dressers call, and Wilkerson referred to it in his book, as sucker shoots. One of the things they do when they're pruning is they cut away the sucker shoots. And those are little branches that will bear no fruit, but they'll suck the life out of you. They'll take the nutrients that you need. Anybody got any sucker shoots in your life? I have some. And God loves me so much, and he's such a good vine dresser, that he's going to come and cut those sucker shoots out of my life. Things that produce nothing for me, but take everything away from me. Now, I don't know what God's speaking to you right now, but he's talking to you individually. Because you're probably aware of those sucker shoots, and that's why he comes to prune us. One of the other reasons they prune is to help the branch grow correctly. Because if you leave it to itself, it may grow incorrectly. It'll still grow, but not correctly. And pruning helps direct the growth. The pruner cuts away anything that is not life-giving. What in your life is not life-giving? God wants to prune that. He wants to cut that away. The pruner, when he prunes, he creates more access to the sunlight. He increases the quality, and there is new growth. It's amazing. Have you ever pruned something and it looked like it was dead, didn't it? But really, you were getting it ready for new life. We have a bush we've talked about before in our yard. We call it the demon bush. It's over by our pond. We cut that thing down to the surface, and it comes back. And it's bigger and better and better. I told Connie, I think it loves this. I think we're just making it mad. Because it keeps coming back, and it wants to choke out all the other stuff. It's a sucker shoot. I told her last year, I said, there's only one way. We're going to dig this thing up by the roots, because we prune it and it makes it stronger. And you know that's exactly what happens to you when God prunes. Because the natural fruit result of pruning is that you will bear more fruit. That's what he said. The vine dresser, he's going to prune you. You're already bearing fruit. But after he prunes you, you're going to bear more fruit. Now here's what you got to understand about that pruning. It's not punishment. I know you think it is. It feels like, because it involves pain. But it's not. It's more like, I think, a type of discipline. In Hebrews 12, 6, 10, and 11, we find these words. You know them. We've read it before. You need to remember this. You'll identify with it, I'm sure. The writer says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Could we say he prunes? If the Lord doesn't love you, he won't prune you. But because he loves you, he chastens you. He scourges every son, whom he receives, and later he says, if this isn't happening, you're not a son. Because you remember when your parents said, I do this because I love you? Remember that? I always was puzzled by that. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit. It's for our profit that we may be partakers of his holiness. Is that a fruit? Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. No pruning is joyful for the present in the now, but actually it is painful. Whenever there is a cutting away, there is pain. He says, nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So that's what pruning does. It's an act of love. It's because the vine dresser cares so much about the vineyard, he takes time, and it takes time to prune. He could just let it go and we'll get what we get. But that's not our vine dresser. He's wanting maximum productivity. Here's number three. The purpose is that we might bear fruit. Notice he didn't say we would create fruit. He said we're going to bear fruit. We don't make it. We create it. Listen to me. You are the conduit of fruit. You don't create it. You don't make it. You're just the conduit that it comes through. Because where does the fruit come from? It comes from the vine, doesn't it? Here's some things you need to know about fruit. Three things real quick. One, fruit is always visible. You say, well, I've got fruit, but you can't see it. That's not true. All fruit is visible. You can see fruit. Secondly, fruit always bears the character of its source. The more you abide in the vine, the more your fruit will reflect it. Because everything you are comes from that vine. Third, this fruit does not exist for itself. You don't just leave it on there and let it rot off the vine, do you? And fruit doesn't eat its own fruit. If it did, it means it's rotten. It's bad. It has a purpose, doesn't it? This fruit is available for others, for people to partake of and receive and draw life from your life. That's one of the things we're called to be. It is kingdom fruit. We're told to seek first the kingdom. Now, one of the most difficult things about this stage is the patience it requires, because fruit bearing does not always come quickly. Is that true in your life? I don't know about you, but I want my fruit right now. I don't want to have to wait. I want something quick and fast. But some of the most precious, sweetest fruit comes over time, doesn't it? And so we have to be patient if we're going to bear this fruit. Some of you sitting here today are saying, well, my fruit-bearing days are over. I used to think that about me until I met you. Think, well, I'm, you know, retirement. And, you know, Tim, he retired. Is he done? Is his fruitful days over? I believe here's God's plan for you. Are you ready to receive this today? In Psalms 92. Psalms 92, verses 12 through 14. Hear these words. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall grow like cedars in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. You know, you're not a wild seed. You are planted. Somebody planted you. Remember, you didn't choose him. He chose you and appointed you. There was a plan, always has been. Psalms 1 says, we are like a seed planted by rivers or canals of water. We didn't just blow in. God planted us strategically. He didn't throw the seed. He sowed the seed. And you're it for a purpose. You have a purpose. There's a plan. There's a process. Listen to these words, he says. You shall flourish in the courts of our God, and you shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Sometimes it's easy. As we get older, we think, well, our days are over. Never. You can't be. If you're abiding in the vine, it doesn't say, well, old vines, new vines. All vines are all old branches, new branches. Abiding in the vine, they'll all bear fruit. And some of you are here today, you're thinking, well, that's in the days gone by. No. Right now, today, in the today bucket, you are living your life, and God has called all of us, appointed all of us to bear fruit. You don't get a pass because of your years. God intends for you to always be fresh because you are abiding in the vine. The question today is, what fruit is evident in your life? You might have to ask the person you live with. Today, my wife showed me what fruit is in her life. When she could have been, and I wouldn't have blamed her. I fully expected a reprimand for being careless, maybe even the S word. stupid, right? Like, what's the word? I expected to hear these words. Why did you, what were you thinking? Why did you do that? You know, I didn't get any of that. So there was some fruit. I thought, oh, that revealed her roots. Because remember, the root fruit reveals the root. What about you and your family? We're going to be talking about this over the weeks ahead. We're going to talk about in your families, in the church. We're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. They're all part of this too. As we minister to one another, at work, wherever you are called. And if you don't hear anything else today, hear this. You're appointed. You are appointed to bear fruit. And that's what Jesus is talking about here as he's preparing his disciples. Now, there are three fruit thieves I want you to watch out for that will try to prevent you. See, the enemy knows that you were appointed for this purpose. And so he's going to work overtime. And all of the demons at work in our midst are going to try to keep you from being fruitful. And here's some ways that can happen. First off, remember, we either can abide or here's what will happen. People have a tendency to embrace the spirit of separation. Both separation from God, separation from others, and separation from God's Word. I've often found, you know, it's easy. We go out and do our little pruning, and when you prune that leaf at first, you hold it in your hand, it's still green. In fact, it's green the next day. It's green the next day. But what's going to happen eventually? It's going to dry up, isn't it? And some people disconnect, and they think, everything's okay. You know, I'm not going to go to church. I don't go into a small group. I don't need that. And you know, it seems okay for a while. But what's going to happen eventually? Because Jesus said, if you don't abide in me, you cannot bear fruit. You will dry up. You'll dry up. Don't forsake the gathering together of the saints, the scriptures tell us, especially as the day is approaching. Why? Because it helps us be fruitful. You're not going to be fruitful being what I call the roly-poly bug. Where you just roly-poly, you just roll up in a corner and you disconnect from everybody for all kinds of reasons. Listen. You're falling for the oldest trap because the enemy doesn't want you to be fruitful. Now, he can't take your salvation. You're going to heaven. No question about it. But wouldn't it be nice to be fruitful on the way? Wouldn't it be nice not to just bear a little fruit, but more fruit and much fruit? You can, but you can't do it by disconnecting and separating yourself. He also talks in verse 7, he says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. My question is God's words abiding in you? Because that's what Jesus says that needs to happen. But so often what I find, and we've talked about this before, where I find, I go to the Word, this is the manual, and we have a situation, maybe God's doing some pruning or whatever, and you open up the scriptures and you read it, and then the branch says, well, yeah, but. Yeah, but. Listen, that's a sucker sheet. If you got to get that out of your vocabulary. When you read the Word of God, you got to let that Word abide in you, because if you don't, guess what it's going to affect? Your prayer life. In fact, look at your prayer life. It'll tell you a lot about abiding. Listen to your prayers. Are they vine prayers or are they branch prayers? Are they vine prayers? Tony Evans, I was listening to a podcast of his not long ago, and he proposed a question that interested me when he said it. I went, oh, that's a good point. He said this, if all your prayers were answered over the last 30 days, every 100% of them, how many people would have been added to the kingdom? Or was it just prayers for you? Or were the kingdom prayers? If the Word's abiding in you, you will care about what the vine cares about. You will be focusing on what the vine is focusing on. In fact, if you keep reading in this chapter, it's not on the screen, but here's what Jesus said. In verse 12, he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I... Well, what can't you say, yeah, but? Well, I know you command, but... You know you're supposed to love others like I loved you. Well, yeah, but... You will not be fruitful unless you can say yes and amen. Yes and amen. Because you're abiding in his words and in him. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you. There's our scripture. I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Now what did he just finish talking about before he said that? He's talking about God's love, isn't he? He's talking about the love of God for us. Where's that come from? It comes from the vine, doesn't it? That's the fruit. God wants to have the fruit of his love in our lives coming out. We are the conduit of God's love. You know the story when I was at Lake Kannapolis praying, asking God to help me be a better husband, better pastor, better father. I was questioning whether it could be done. And how, Lord, I need to love my wife more. And I wrote in my journal. And God says, why don't you just stop and let me love her? Let me love her through you. He's talking about this. He's saying, if you'll just let me, just be a branch. Stop trying to be the vine. Just be the branch. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it. Keeps coming up with abiding, doesn't it? Prayer. These things I command you, that you love one another. So, listen, I don't know how you're going to apply this in your life, but you need to if you're going to abide, there's going to be priorities. You're going to abide in God. You're going to obey him. You're going to obey his word. You're going to connect with people. If you separate yourself and disconnect, you will shrivel up. You will not bear fruit. Here's number two, quickly. Resisting the pruning process. I understand this is a problem. I have done it myself, where I have an inability sometimes to trust God. Wondering, you know, hey, is this really good what's happening? God, you're cutting away out of my life, but I don't see it. You must trust the vine dresser that he loves the vineyard. He's going to do what's best for us. He's going to do what's right for us. And just like Hebrews said, it may be painful, but don't resist it. If anything, run towards it, because God has great things he wants to do for us. Stop seeing it as punishment and see it as an act of love when God prunes us. It is a great word that Jesus is giving to us. And thirdly, this is a big one. Try not to make and control your own fruit. This is so important, because I sense we do this a lot. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Some of your translations will say God gave the effect. What's he saying? He said, we all had a part in this, but it's God who brought the fruit. Fruit is not, it's not your fruit. All right. Be careful. You think you're doing this. You're just the conduit. Let God bring this fruit and stop trying to control it or manipulate it or make it, you want it to be your expectations. No. Just be a branch and let that fruit flow through. It might surprise you, the fruit that's going to come forth. So oftentimes, I heard someone say this once, instead of being fruit trees, we're like Christmas trees. What are Christmas trees like? Well, we decorate them, don't we? And they're beautiful. And at the end of the season, we box them all up and put them away. Is that the kind of tree you are? You just want to decorate yourself so everybody will look at you and think, wow, are you going to bear fruit? Real fruit. Lasting fruit. Not wishy-washy fruit. But you're going to be consistent. Fruit bed. You'll know them by their fruit. Know this, that success is not always fruitfulness. We all want to be successful, but be careful. Now, success can be fruitfulness, but it isn't always. What you have to look for is there God's fruit in that success? Whether that be in business or in church ministry. You know, we think, oh, successful, this is successful. Is it really? Look for the fruit. Sometimes we have a tendency just to go for the numbers, and numbers can be fruit, but not always. How many have ever thought, well, this little church, how fruitful can we be? We're just a little church. What can we do? Listen, I'll tell you, God appointed us to be fruitful. We're just a little tree, but we can bear good fruit, can't we? You say, well, I don't know. I can't. Man, that person, now that person's fruit. No, God appointed you to be fruitful. And he wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to be fruitful in your family. And we're going to be talking about this over the weeks ahead. How can I be fruitful in my family, on my job, you know, at school, wherever it is, at church, our corporate gathering, and outside the walls? We are called to be fruitful at all times and have an enduring fruit. Are you ready for that? Well, we're going to come to the table this morning, and with the spirit of Philippians 1, 10 through 11, this was Paul's prayer. He said, "My prayer is that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with what? Fruit. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Who wants to be fruitful this year? Who wants to go from no fruit to fruit? Or maybe you're a fruit, but you'd like to go to more fruit. Who'd like to go to much fruit? Believe me, it won't be by your effort as much as your cooperation. And you're just going to rest in the vine and let the vine do what it's supposed to do. And you do as a branch what you're supposed to do. And just let the fruit happen. Don't try to manipulate it. Don't try to control it. Let it happen. In your marriage, parenting, wherever your feet are, you are appointed. I want you to confess that today. I am appointed by God to bear fruit. I didn't give you this appointment. God gave it to you. And here's what I envision for Faith Community Church. I see an orchard of fruit. We're all a bunch of little trees, and we've all come together, and we're an orchard. Oh, we're not a big orchard, but I believe we're a good orchard. And if all the trees will do what they were created to do, then we're going to bear fruit just like God. It is the plan. It is the process you're experiencing right now. And the purpose is for God to have glory. Amen? Anybody here interested in coming along on the journey? This is your year. This is your year. Claim it. God wants you to have it. It is His plan for you. Father, we love You. We love each other. We've come to this place. We are trees of righteousness that You have planted. Lord, maybe some of us are in a season of pruning right now. And it doesn't feel right. Feels awkward. Feels painful. Seems to be contrary to fruit bearing. But You know best, and You are preparing us for much fruit. I pray, Father, that You would raise our expectation as branches, and that our source and our focus would be on the vine. Teach us, Lord, to abide. Abide, 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 abide. We want to abide in You and abide in Your Word. We want to stay. We want to endure. Lord, we want to be able to stand in that place in You forever connected. We want to stay close. Lord, forgive us for separation. We confess that now. And we reconnect again. Would You help us do that? Father, help us to stop resisting the pruning, but to run towards it and embrace it and trust You in it. Lord, help us to stop trying to make fruit, manipulate fruit, and look bigger than we really are. Just let us rest in You. This is our year, and we're claiming it. We're going to come to this table this morning. It is the table of fruitfulness. Without this table, we will bear no fruit. But because of what You've done for us, because of You and because of the cross, just as Paul said, that it's through You to the glory and praise of God that we are full of fruit today. Lord, we're looking forward to this year. It's going to be great. We love You. We love each other. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Would you stand with me, please, as we prepare to leave this place? Your homework is pretty simple today, isn't it? We're just going to go and fulfill our appointment this week. Bear fruit. Be ready. You don't have to do much. Just cooperate and just let it happen. Release your expectations. I believe God wants you to bear fruit every single day. Be ready. It might start this afternoon. You might have to bear fruit at the restaurant, or maybe your spouse will spill oil all over the kitchen to help you bear fruit. I hope that doesn't happen to you, but be ready. You have a choice to make. Let's abide in Him today. Father, we love You. We love each other. We thank You for this word. I take it. I internalize it in myself because, Lord, I want to be more fruitful in my life. I pray that You will do whatever it takes as the vine dresser to bring me to that place You want me to be for the purpose You have appointed me. Thank You, Father. You love us, and we love You, and we love each other. In Jesus' name. I give you this invitation as you depart. If you need healing in your body, we have folks who come up here and pray with you, anoint you with oil. That's fruitfulness. That's fruit. Come and partake of that fruit. Don't just walk away. God gave it to you as a gift. It'll help you. If you just need encouragement, you need prayer. If you have never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your day. We want to pray with you. Amen. God bless you as you go. Go in God's love, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you as you go.